Hello everyone, welcome to Small Biz Tips. So I believe 2016, 17, oh my God, we're old. I met this young man at an event in New York City. We connected. We spoke on the phone a few times. We became good friends. We referred business to each other. He has been an amazing connector, an amazing person for me to know. And today I have an amazing pleasure bringing him on the pod. Jason, what's up, man?
Gilbert, man. Yeah, it's been a long time, but it's great to kind of be in this arena sharing our story and insights with thousands of others.
Let's go. I'm
Yeah.
excited. So, before we get to the goods, who is Jason?
Well, that's a very deep question.
Got
You're gonna get all philosophical on me.
to, man.
Yeah, we got it right. Well, I'll give the really abridged version. So, I'm from New York. I live in New York, although I did a short stint in New Jersey. So my wife's from New Jersey, so everybody that's a local tri-stater knows how that goes. But my background. So came up in the world of creative, worked in advertising agencies, started my first bootstrap boutique agency back in the early 2000s when boutique agencies didn't even really exist. Ran that business for 16 years, which was great. Learned a lot. I was what they call a skillpreneur, so I was really good at graphic design and marketing, but didn't know a whole lot about business. And learned through a lot of ups and downs over the years of what it takes to be a business owner and now an entrepreneur. Because now I'm on my second business, and so today we'll get into it. But really, what we're doing is helping businesses fill the gap between what happens between marketing activities and sales activities. And we do that bringing in a strategic approach with technology, mostly CRM technology, or tying into existing tech that a client has, but really connecting the dots between data. And so the big, issue a lot of businesses have, which we'll talk about, is you spend a lot of money to get a lead, whether it be from advertising or trade shows or whatever, but then you fumble the ball, right? You get busy. Someone says, "I'm not ready yet," and you put them on the back burner. You forget to follow up, and then what happens? They buy from your competitor. So, really, our specialty is helping businesses not lose track of that progress because you and I both know, Joubert, sometimes it takes many months or even a year or more to close a client, and if you don't have a system in place to nurture them and educate them and stay in front of them, you're probably not going to win the business. So, that's where we're
I
at.
love the fact that you share that because that is something that a lot of people don't talk about. Right? They're like, oh, I got a gazillion leads, but nobody really talk about how many of those leads are being closed.
Right.
So before we get to that, I am curious, right? In that first business, you said you learned a lot of lessons. What were your top three lessons that you learned in that first company that you ran for 16 years?
So the first lesson, which would seem so obvious, but is the true concept of profitability, right? So what I knew in my early 20s was I lived with, two other guys. An apartment in Brooklyn, overhead was low, wasn't married, didn't have kids, I didn't even have a dog, right? So overhead was really low. And I was making money and I was having fun, but I didn't understand, how to price things. So even if I were to go out and I would hire another company or another person to do work for me or go to our printing company, get stuff printed for a client, I didn't understand about markup and profit and like how that comes and affects the bottom line. So learning that definitely made a huge pivotal move in terms of the overall profitability of the business, for sure. I say the second most important thing was not that I was stubborn, it's what I didn't know wound up hurting me, right? So what I mean by that is I was like, oh, I kind of know how to sell. I know how to do these other things that I never had to do before. And it wasn't until probably about 2 years into the business, I started recognizing and through meeting people like yourself at various events in the city, which was great being in that atmosphere. Oh, wow, this business consultant really has some interesting concepts and ideas to share with me. Or, hey, this sales training program seems really interesting. And once I started tapping into all those resources, reading more books, the business really exploded in a lot of different positive directions. So that I would definitely encourage for people that, are unwilling to kind of change. Sometimes change is good,
I agree.
And then not that I have a huge ego, but I think the third thing, which is such a silly thing to say, but is often overlooked, is, to have other smarter people around you, So I was, a single business owner for 16 years, never had any partners. And I never really had people that I could partner with, mm-hmm. but I found other creative ways to bring people in that were smarter than me to help either come up with better ideas than I was coming up with, or even, you know, just working on the business and other aspects. So,
yeah.
you know, even today, you know, bringing in other people on the Cultivize team that just have different skill sets is really important to surround yourself with those types of people for really, you know, some pretty exciting growth.
Wow. It's interesting you said this, right? Profitability. Profitability, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're in business for. But a lot of us sometimes don't pay attention on the profitability side. And sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So by you surrounding yourself with the right people, that really help a lot. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit because I really want to get into this conversation when it comes to what happened after somebody get the lead and why they're not closing, right? Because mm-hmm. you kind of like the expert in that in your space. So tell me, kind of give me a scenario or common scenario that you're seeing with business owners. Once the lead come through, like they're paying a gazillion dollars, they went to a trade show, they have 50, 100, 200 quality leads, but nothing's happening. And they're kind of like, okay, you know, did I lose my money? What happened there? How are you working with clients to help them go through these things?
So it's a great question. So the first thing I want to do is I want to contest what you said in a way.
Okay.
And what I want to contest, Gilbert, is the word quality. Mm-hmm. We don't know if they're quality yet, right? You won't know if a lead is quality until you talk to them. So just because you met them at a trade show or they filled out a website form or downloaded some content, an ebook, doesn't mean they're even your ideal client. Right. Mm-hmm. They came by the trade show just for the free swag you were giving away. So, right. Which we know that happens. Right. So, the mistakes, right. That's what we asked for. Like what happens?
Yeah.
So the first thing is there's no process, right? So whether you're a team of two people or a team of 30 salespeople, we often see that everybody's designed and set up for failure because there's no rules to be followed. There's no rule mm-hmm. to say, okay, you met someone at a trade show. 3 days later, you do this. You follow up with them via a phone call or an email. A week mm-hmm. later, you do this. 10 days later, you send them a catalog. 3 months later, you do this. Like there's no defined process for how people should be followed up with.
Wow.
And so what happens is that everybody sort of does their own thing. Sometimes you're successful by accident or because you just have a process of your own, but not everybody's in a unified approach to following the same process. So that's one of the biggest things that we see. I think another big piece is that managers and even business owners don't know what kind of communication is being dispersed by the sales team to these prospective clients, right? Because they're not being given email templates. They're not being given voicemail scripts, phone scripts. They're just hiring a sales team and they're like, oh, you're a salesperson. You know what to do. Figure it out. Here's our website. Go learn about us, right? But they're not being coached and taught like how to deal with objections, like how mm-hmm. to deal with, you know, or not even deal, but how to sell on the idea that we're going to identify a problem and lead with solving the problem versus just what we always hear, selling features and benefits, which you should mm-hmm. never do, right? And I think a lot of companies and salespeople do that because they don't know any better or they just aren't given the right assets. So, you know, I would say anybody listening today that is a business owner or a manager of a sales team, when was the last time you looked at your emails that are going out and the communication between prospective customers and the sales team? I would argue that many people are not looking at those communications.
You're so right because the leads will come in and they expect the sales guy to kind of just follow up, but you don't know what they're saying in the follow-up. Is it even effective? Has it been tested?
I've also seen where they're lying, right? I've seen sales teams like make promises that they can't even actually deliver on just to get the meeting or just to get the contract signed. So I've seen it all. And like, it's really shocking what happens, but it's not per se this fault of the salesperson. It's because again, they're not being given the right tools and the right guidance to perform better.
Let me ask you this, you in that space, right? When you see stuff like that, and then they're like, you know what, things are not working and they're calling you and your team in, how do you guys handle it? Like, do you start by setting up a process with them? What has been your framework to help those businesses
sure
turn these leads into clients?
Well, The first thing is the company that we're talking to, right? Let's say it's a prospective client.
Yeah.
They have to be not necessarily willing, but they have to be in the mindset to recognize that there is a problem. So if they okay. don't own up to it, and they have to, if they're in denial, we're never going to be able to help them. So the first thing is we have to find that champion, that cheerleader within the organization that says, okay, I'm going to take accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm going to recognize that there is a problem. We need to fix it. We also recognize that Cultivize and Jason and his team can come in and you have the skill set and the tools that we need to fix the problem. So that's the first thing. If that's not there, nothing else is happening, right?
You're right. Right.
So let's say that is there. We will never just jump into solving the problem without really peeling back the layers on identifying not only the high level problems, but what's causing the problem, right?
Gotcha.
So if the problem is communication between a sales team or a person and prospective clients, what is the underlying root of that? Is it because that the manager or the marketing team is giving them really crappy emails to use, right?
Gotcha.
Is it that their website is terrible? So they are embarrassed to tell people to go to the website because the website doesn't portray the value or the confidence or the expertise or the quality or yada, yada, right? That company provides. So there's all different things that underlie on that. I'll give a quick example. We're talking to a roofing company that will look like they're coming on as a client next week or two, based in Massachusetts. And part of the discovery was they had some questions, right? Of course, everybody's gonna have questions about things. And so one of the questions was, hey, we're thinking about making some tweaks to our website. We know that we spent a lot of money in marketing. We know that you're gonna help with the lead nurturing, but we just wondered if you had any outside perspective on our site, right? That you can give us. And they're not even a client. This is me just trying to kind of
helping.
Close the deal, make good on like the value that we can bring. And you know what I noticed, Gilbert? On their estimate form, on their website, and there's only one form. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's no contact us form. So if you wanted to contact them, you either have to fill out an application or an estimate, which is kind of crazy, or you had to call them. And I'm like, why is there no contact us form if they just had questions, right? But on the estimate form, which is, you need an estimate, right? You can submit that form without completing the form. What that means is that none of their fields were required. So they could have gotten forms submitted with just the first name or with just an address and no contact information. And they're like, oh, we didn't even know that was happening, you know? It's like those little things.
Yeah.
You don't realize you're just like in the day in day of running a business. And like, I can't tell you how many times I find, you know, big issues that are not difficult to fix, but that could have consequences that are rather large.
I'm glad you print that out, right? Because the money is in the detail. And there's a lot of, we have a lot of owners and, you know, founders and entrepreneurs that listen to this pod. You mentioned going to their site and just doing a quick analysis. That alone, you just solve a big problem for them. I'm wondering how many people don't know that they even have that problem on their site, right? They never done any form of analysis to know that, you know, hey, somebody can fill out a form and just put two words on there. Now you just wasted a form and wasted somebody else's time. Mm-hmm. So that is massive. Wow. So let me ask you this. Give me like an example of one of the clients that you guys been working with. What were the situation before they start working with you? And where are they now? You know, how have your team been able to help them?
Sure. So I'll give you a great example. So we have a client that's in, you know what an RF reader is, an RFID, like where you go in and you scan a badge to get into like a building, right? So they sell the readers and they sell like all the technology involved in that. All right. Mm-hmm. So they're a B2B company naturally. And so they were working with the CRM mm-hmm. actually that we sell, okay, with another partner. And what they didn't have was, well, let's just say this, they assumed everything was working, right?
Yeah.
And when we start peeling back the layers, like we're just talking about, so the problem they had before they came to us was all the money they were spending on marketing was not tied into the CRM, meaning if someone filled out a form, right,
mm-hmm.
or downloaded a piece of content, whatever it might be, they didn't know which marketing channel that person was coming from.
Oh, wow.
And they're spending a lot of money and running a lot of different marketing channels. both on social, paid advertising, et cetera. So that really hurts their ability to improve their marketing efforts, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't know what's working, what's not working. That's one issue. Another issue was they have a lot of forms in their site. Notifications weren't set up correctly. So the right team members weren't getting notified in a timely fashion. So here wow. you are getting a quality lead, which we presume would be a quality lead. And no one knows that they should be following up because there was a
notification. System, yeah.
Right? Okay. So there's just a couple of right things. So what we're doing with them, which wasn't very difficult, is talking to their marketing team, getting all the details we need of all those campaigns, mm-hmm. making sure we understand who should get notified, not only setting all that up, but then it's our team here at Cultivize responsibility to not just say, yeah, everything's working. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you have a question. We're taking the extra step to say, we're going to monitor that and making yeah. sure that everything is working. And we're going to put ourselves on the notification. So guess what? You know, marketing is going to get notified. Sales is going to get notified when a word form comes in, but so is Cultivize. And we're going to wow. let that run for a couple of weeks. And yeah, we might get a few hundred emails or whatever it's going to be into our inbox, but that's okay. We want to make sure that that's the only fully way to test that everything is working the way it should yeah. work is if we're part of the back end process. Yeah. Right. And so those are just a quick example of, you know, things that we identify the problem, find out what the solution is. I'll give you another really, really quick one. We had another client that had, I want to say, maybe a dozen or more forms on that website. Every okay. form was different. And what the problem was is that some of the forms asked similar questions, but in slightly different ways. So one example of that might be, you know, like, how would you describe yourself? And the dropdown is, you know, I'm a financial planner, I'm an insurance mm-hmm. broker, I'm whatever. But then you go on another form and it's the same question saying, you know, what kind of work do you do? Right. And then the dropdown list is similar to the first one, wow. but it's a little bit different. Right. And so beyond now, it may not affect the consumer coming to the site. They may not even see both forms, but mm-hmm. it causes a lot of problems on the back end in the CRM because now you have two different data points. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to go in and segment your data and say, how many people are financial brokers? But the other one said, how many are financial analysts? But those two wow. things mean the same thing, or maybe they don't. Your data would be very convoluted. So we went in, we built one form to replace everything mm-hmm. and built it in such a way that it's a dynamic form. So if from the dropdown you pick financial planner, then you're going to see more fields pop up on the form
oh, wow.
that weren't there if you had picked a different one, right? So the form can still be adjustable based yeah. on certain needs, you know, which is going to be a lot more effective than having this ramble.
That is gold, like, man. Forms, that is know? Gold. I'm yeah. curious, right? Like your CRM system, what makes it different than all the other CRM system out there? Because you hear a gazillion CRM system out there. Like what has been some of the key factors that said, okay, this is what separates us and that make it more effective for people to turn those leads into sales?
So number one, the biggest thing we hear, Joubert, is just the ease of use. And I know gotcha. It's simple to say that, and a lot of platforms tout that it's easy to use, the interface is simple, but the reality is a lot of these interfaces are very confusing. Mm-hmm. And so until you start using it, you don't realize kind of like all those nuances. So typically we get teams trained in about 2 weeks or okay. less, you know, on the platform. We do all that training live. We don't tell them, hey, go watch a video. We're hands-on showing them how to use the system. But I think it's very intuitive throughout the whole platform. And it's simple, it's unified, and it's not, it. I guess you can say it's the difference of a programmer and, mm-hmm. you know, designing something that's used to like being like an engineer on the back end versus mm-hmm. like a really good UX web designer designing a yeah. system that's really graphically very intuitive. Things make sense where they are. That's kind of what this system is, right? It's just super intuitive. So that's one differentiator. The second mm-hmm. is everything is included. So if you look at other platforms that have like the sales hub and the marketing hub mm. and the customer support hub, and each of those hubs costs, you know, hundreds yeah, of thousands of dollars right? Like it becomes, you know, next thing you know, it's a $50,000-$100,000 piece of investment, you yeah. know, to have all those different tools. The platform we use is all connected, right? It's all one platform, all one price. And it's not even based on the number of users like a lot of other. And that's a big thing too, is you have to be careful. And anyone listening, we'll talk about some resources we have, but you got to be careful about pricing. There's a lot of hidden fees when it comes to CRM, you know, so it's, you know, how many contacts can you have uploaded? How many emails can you send? You know, how many users can you have? So there's some staples there that you have to look for, because they might have a very low entry price. But then when you say, okay, well, that's only for 1,000 contacts, it's great. But now I have 10,000 contacts, and then your price just skyrocketed and it's unaffordable. So you really want to know kind of what you're getting into. And then, so that's another factor, is the fact that we're all inclusive. And then the third factor is, I would say, the fact that you're not buying software from a software company. When you work with Cultivize, we're a team of consultants. We are the white glove, you know, gold standard provider to help you and your team succeed. We have monthly strategy sessions with every single client that's included in our pricing. So we become your coach and your partner to make that's sure huge. You do succeed. And that's, I think, the biggest differentiator out of all of them, is that you're not just buying a piece of tech, you're buying a consulting team that's going to help you really get this tech to where
you have the experts to back you. I love it. Yeah. Now, to kind of wrap things up, right? Because I've seen time is going crazy, and I got to have you come back to do a second round, man. So,
be happy to.
What is that one small biz tip you would share with any business owners out there that's listening? Maybe they have a CRM, maybe they don't, they're just using Google Sheets.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're getting leads and they're like, I'm not closing it. So what is that one small tip you would share with them?
So I'm going to give like two or three tips, if that's okay. Quick one, go really ahead. Quick ones. So the first is, yes, if you're spending more than, I would say, a few thousand dollars on marketing a month, and you don't have a system, you really want to be kind of trying to figure out in any way you can, how many leads did I get last month and the month before, and how many of those actually turned into a customer or even a quality conversation. And if you're upside down on that, then you definitely need to go back to the marketing team and say, hey, it's great that you generate a lot of leads, but they're really crap and they're no good. We need to get better quality leads. Otherwise, we need to find a new partner that can help us, you know, get those leads. The second tip for sure, I would say, is if you're in a position, and I know they may not be only business owners listening, but if you're in a position to look at the monthly bank statement for the business, and you are the business owner or somebody, a CFO, look at how much software and tools the company is using, and then talk to everybody in the organization and find out if they're actually using those tools or not. You'd be surprised how many companies are spending thousands and thousands of dollars a month on software they don't even use.
That's a gem.
Or even more, right? I mean, I've seen it even go up to over $100,000 a year for a tool that's not even used. So we could probably read the between the line on which one that is, but I won't say. anyway, so that's the second tip. And the third tip is really just kind of, you know, get with the team, you know, like have the marketing team be talking to the sales team. Even if you're a small organization, you got two salespeople, your salespeople should be involved in the marketing conversations, because marketing is driving leads. And if the sales team isn't reporting the quality of those leads and what's happening back to the marketing team or the external agency, then you really have a disadvantage to really drive that marketing to be able to produce quality leads and revenue.
Wow, these are some amazing golden nuggets, Jason. Thank you for sharing so much value with the group. To kind of wrap things up, right? How do people get in touch with you? They want to work with your team. You know, how do they reach you guys?
Yeah. So the easiest thing to do, in order of easy to not necessarily not easy, but you'll hear in a minute why. So go to afterthelead.com. Okay. On there, you'll have a lot of information about us. We have our lead nurturing playbook, which is a 15-page book that explains exactly what we were talking about today. It has some great diagrams, easy to follow blueprints. So you could get that for free. I'm also able to provide all the listeners today a email audit. A lot of people do email marketing. They don't know. Yeah, they know open rate, close rate, you know, click rate, et cetera.
Yeah.
They don't know what's happening. So we do an email diagnostics on any platform you're using.
Oh,
absolutely
wow.
Free, which is on there. And I'm personally available. So there's also a link on that page to schedule a call with me. After that, LinkedIn would be the second best place. And I say that one second because my middle name is not spelled conventionally. So it's L-E-I-G-H. So it's Jason Lee Kramer, but spelled L-E-I-G-H. You'll find me on LinkedIn, and I got an open profile, so it's very easy to send me a connection request. You don't need to know my email address to do so.
Wow, guys, definitely take advantage of that email audit. I think that is massive, massive, because this guy's been doing this for years, and he knows what he's talking about. Thank you for coming on, Jason. This was amazing. Thank you for so much value, and have a good one, guys.
Thanks,
Cheers. Bear.